Good morning. We're busy on the subject of carrying on Shabbos, and obviously to understand when there's an issue of carrying and what carrying is, we need to understand what is considered Rishus HaRabim and what is considered Rishus HaYachid. And we said that there's halachically four different areas, four different domains that Chazal have defined for us, and they each have a different status of how we treat them when it comes to Shabbos. Number one, we said, is Rishus HaYachid, the private domain. The private domain, something that has physical boundaries, it has mechitzas around it, it has to have a minimum dimension of 4x4 tfachim, which is a little bit more than a square foot. Obviously, it can be much larger. You can have a whole city which gets it in of a private domain, if it is walled in, etc., and has gates that close. But the smallest dimension for a private domain is 4x4 tfachim. Let's call it a little more than a square foot, or about 40 centimeters squared. It could even be a movable items, closets, cupboards, car, wagon, or it could even be a area in a public domain that is raised and sticks out, something that is more than 10 tefachim above the ground and has a surface area of this minimum size of 4x4, will also get a status of a private domain. So you can have an enormous public thoroughfare, the public walking through it, and in the middle you would have a pillar of sorts, and has the minimum dimension, someone who stands on that pillar is considered as having been a private domain. Or, in the converse, if it would be deep, it would be a pothole, or a pit, or a borehole, or a well, or whatever the case may be, that is 10 tefachim or more deep, and has a surface area of 4x4, then that area would also be a private domain. The consequence of the halacha will be that if a person is in such a pit, for example, you have a well of water. Can you draw water out of the well and bring the water to yourself as you stand in the street and drink it? Because you're taking the water out of the private domain where it is in the well and passing it over the edge of the well and stand in the public domain and drink it. That will be a problem of hoitzah on Shabbos, taking something out. And therefore it's important to know the definition of private domain. Or if you have an apartment and you have a window, and outside the window is the public domain, so you can't throw something out the window. But what about if you throw something out the window and it lands inside the pit? You have a well in your yard. Can you draw water from the well and carry it into your apartment, because it's going from private domain to private domain? That's a discussion, because you have the public domain in between. And is that an issue or not? What about the fact if it goes above 10 tefachim? That's why it seems strange to have the thing that you say you have a pillar in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. You can imagine how dangerous it would be if in the middle of a highway you had a pillar that was a meter tall. It would cause a terrible, terrible congestion of traffic and then it'd be a hazard. But we don't have to think of strange examples. That's why I gave an example of a water well that's in Rishus HaRabim, which was very common in the olden days. You had a main road that led up to the city, and they had pit stops on the way for people to supply themselves with water. So what they did was, in those days, is they built what was called jumdi. It comes from the Latin, that the dew is like the word die in Latin, which means two. They have a dialogue, a monologue, and a dialogue. A dialogue is a talk between two people. So diumdin, diu, modin, comes from the same type of building. The word is taken from a foreign language where it means two sides. They put up right-angled corner pieces on all four sides, and each corner piece was made of two sides. That was called jumdin, and you put on all four corners, and that gave it the status of Rishus HaYachid. A person was walking in the streets, and he needed to have a drink, so he went over to the well, and the well was semi-enclosed and made the whole area around the well as private area. And therefore, he could draw the water out and drink it and not have to stick his head down into the well in order to drink it. So those are the consequences of knowing whether something is Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. So number one, we said Rishus HaYachid, the private domain. Again, it's got to have the physical mechitzas. It's got to have a minimum area. It can be in a movable item as well. It could even be a carriage or a car. It can be a raised area within another area, or something is dropped, like in a well or something like that. We also said that the definition of Rishus HaYochid is not just floor level, but it goes up all the way up to the heavens. And Rishus HaYochid is considered as, even above 10 Tefachim, remains the status of Rishus HaYochid. We'll see that in other places that's not true, and therefore it has enough to the halacha. There are places that have the definition according to the Torah as being considered as Rishus HaYochid, but Chazal will go on them, said you're not allowed to carry them. We'll see. But generally speaking, Rishus HaYochid is a private domain, and you can carry within a private domain. You just can't carry out of a private domain to a different. Number two, we said Rishus HaRabim. What is Rishus HaRabim? We said it's got to be a place that is not covered. It does not have three mechitzas around it, and it has less than three mechitzas. It has none, or one or two, but not three. It's got to be open from end to end, and it's got to have a minimum width of 16 amas. For simplicity's sake, let's call that about 8 meters or 25 feet. And that if it has those four conditions, then according to a lot of poskim, it's already a Rishus HaRabim. Others say it needs another condition, fifth condition, in order to make it a Rishus HaRabim. It's lacking that fifth condition, then it's not a Rishus HaRabim d'oraisa. It still could be considered public domain midrabbanon, and it has enormous consequence to halacha how we treat it. And that is that you need a minimum of 600,000 people crossing through this area on a daily basis. The Mishnah Berurah treats us as a safek, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, and therefore people should strive to be machmir whenever you get into that situation, that if you have an area that has the first four criteria but doesn't have the fifth one, that means it's not covered, it doesn't have mechitzas, it's open, it's wide, but it doesn't have this criteria of 600,000 people, you should still treat it like a Rishus HaRabim d'oraisa, and therefore there's many consequences that way. However, many of the later poskim say that the Mishnah Berurah based this on the fact that he, in his research, he found that it was approximately an even machlokas, counts up 12 rishonim this way and 12 rishonim that way, and he says it's a machlokas, half, and therefore you treat it as a safek. But there are later achrodim that say that he missed many, many rishonim and goyim who hold that this is a necessary criteria, and therefore it's only a minimum opinion, a minor opinion that holds this, that you can ignore this criteria, which comes out of Kula, which comes out if you go according to those shittas, and that's pretty much the minute, is that we treat any place that does not have 600,000 people crossing this area on a daily basis, we treat that as lacking in the definition of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it is not a Rishus HaRabim. A practical application of such a thing is if you live in an area where there's no Eruv, and you want to get a goy to carry something for you. For example, not just a regular stam ask a goy to do something, but you have a bris. Can you make a bris in shul on Shabbos? So here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we have an egg. When you bring the baby to shul, the moyo comes to shul, the moyo is still to shul, and everything's fine, you can listen to shul. But in a place where there's no egg, how can you make the bris in shul? Because you can't bring the baby there. So the Taz already says that they had a way that they used to carry the baby. That means to walk less than 4 amos, stop, give the baby to someone else, and that person will walk less than 4 amos, stop, and give the baby back. Walk 4 amos, less than 4 amos, stop, and give it back. And so they would do the whole way to shul, and that way you would never get to a d'oraisa carrying the Rishus HaRabim. The problem is, how did you get the baby out the house? If you do papas me'arba amos, you do this less than 4 amos way of carrying the baby through, but you have a problem of how did you get the baby out of the house and into the streets? So the only way to do it is to get a goy to. Now, the question is, can you ask a goy to do anything for you on Shabbos? No, we say, Amir la'akum is also on Shabbos. There are cases where we say that the makom mitzvah we buy, usually only if it is a shvus, the shvus, meaning that the halach, that the issur that you're asking the goy to do is an issur d'rabbanan. In other words, to ask a goy to light a candle for you is an issur d'oraisa. If I did, it would be an issur d'oraisa. So if I ask a goy to do it, that's a single d'rabbanan. For Amir la'akum, that I've told the goy to do something which for me would be also a Torah, that therefore telling a goy to do something drops at one level, it's called a shvus, it's a single d'rabbanan, and we're not matching it. there are extenuating circumstances in every single case that involves such a case, you should ask a shayla. But generally speaking, Amir la'akam and Darais is out. But what happens if I ask a goy to do something which is a dirabana? For example, cutting your nails on Shabbos is also midoraisa. But if you cut your nails in a way that's a kina achayat, or you bite your nails, that's only dirabana. So if I need to cut my nails on Shabbos to the mikvah, okay, can I get a goy to bite my nails? Not very appetizing, but I'm using this as a theoretical question because in those cases there are other halakhos that we use and how we apply to it. Shaila comes up, ask a shaila for an example. And therefore you would say that there it's the mokum mitzvah. So the person wants to go to the mikveh and have long nails, so therefore the mokum mitzvah. So you allow them a shvus, the shvus, a double drabonon. One is that the fact that you ask a goy is drabonon, and the goy is going to carry out something which anyways only asks me drabonon. Therefore, it's a shvus, the shvus. Shvus, the shvus, the mokum drabonon. If there is a the mokum mitzvah, if there is a mitzvah involved, so then you can do that. I'll give another fairly complicated example. I'll try to make it simple. But there's the most interesting case. What happens if you left the light on the fridge? So opening your fridge on Shabbos is a psik ratio. I mean, there's no way you can avoid turning the light on. You open the fridge, the light goes on. There's nothing you can do about it. Therefore, even though your intention is to open the fridge and take food out and not to turn the light on, but there's no way you can avoid it, and that's the psik ratio. And therefore, it's also to open your fridge if the light is on. What happens if I make it that when I open my fridge, I do it in a way that it is derabah? How do I do that? I do a sikresha deloy nichale. What is that? That is that when I do a certain action on Shabbos, and as a result of my action, a malacha happens. So we say that's also because of sikresha. When I open the fridge, the light comes on. It's also for the sikresha. If I take a heavy piece of furniture and I pull it across an earth floor and it causes a groove in the floor, that is a sikresha. I made a groove. But if I have nothing to gain from that malacha, I'm not interested in that malacha taking, so then it's considered a psikresha delay nichale. I'm not interested in the result of that psikresha. The example given is that when I wash my hands in my garden, I'm watering the flowers. So true, I'm not interested in watering flowers, I'm washing my hands. But it's a psikresha that this is inadvertent, it's going to happen, there's nothing I need to avoid it. It's going to happen, it's a psikresha. That is, if I wash my hands in my garden, and my flowers are going to grow. But what happens if I use vinegar to wash my hands? Or I wash my hands in the field of someone I have no good feelings for. I don't care about him. Some neighbor who's I have no chil to have. Maybe he's not Jewish and I don't care about him. And whatever the reason, whatever the case may be, I don't care about what happens to his field. So that's considered psikresha. Deloy nichale. I'm not interested in the result. The result I have no gain. So then it drops to the rabbana. So they say, if you've got your light on in your... So then, what happens if there's a lot of light in the room, and I don't need the light in the fridge, or if I wear a blindfold? So when I open the fridge, true, it's a psikresha. It's a psikresha, delo nichale. I'm not interested in this psikresha, because I don't need the light, either because I blindfolded myself, or because there's a lot of light coming into the room anyway, and it's not going to help me. So now, so then it becomes a rabbana. Now, if I have a double jump, say, for example, I open the fridge with my elbow. So if I open my fridge with my elbow and I've got my blindfold on, so now I've done it a kila achayat. I've done it in the not normal manner by using my elbow. And it's a psikresha delay nichale because I've got my eyes covered. So that will come out as a double drabon. If the only food I have available in the house is in the fridge, so for maka mitzvah, I have a mitzvah to eat the Shabbos meal. I have no other way of doing it than by opening the fridge. So according to that, this would be a possibility of getting something out of your fridge on Shabbos. As I said, it's a complicated situation. I brought it only to illustrate the point of that when you have a double derabanan, so if there are extenuating circumstances, there are times that we are mati. Getting back to Rosh Hashanah, if I go with the opinion that one of the criteria for Rosh Hashanah is the requirement of 600,000 people using this Rosh Hashanah on a regular basis, therefore, most of our streets don't have this. Therefore, most of our streets, according to this opinion, are only Rosh Hashanah Derabon. If you say that our streets are only Rosh Hashanah Derabonon, then asking a goy to carry something through the Rosh Hashanah becomes a shvus. The shvus becomes a double Derabonon. Once it becomes a double Derabonon, then we'll give much more makom to be makel. There'll be a lot more reason to be lenient
to allow a goy to ask a goy to do a thing if there are necessary requirements, for example, to be mekayim the mitzvah of having a bris in a shul. According to that, you could ask a goy to carry the baby to shul. Or if someone wants to go to shul in order to daven with a minyan, so perhaps you can get the Thai helper that is helping the man in the wheelchair to push the man in the wheelchair to shul, even though there's no eruv, because, as I said, getting the goy to push is a derabbanan, because it's a mirul akum, and the place that you're transversing is a place that is also midrabbanan, it's a double derabbanan, place of mitzvah, of going to shul, and hearing Kriyas HaTorah, and davening with a minyan, and all the rest, you'll say that it will be permitted. And so, again, halacha lemaisa, if you are in a place where there's no eruv, and you want to get a goy to push a stroller, or a wheelchair, or carry a baby to shul, ask the local Orthodox rabbi. There are different opinions as to how to apply this halacha lemaisa, but this is just for understanding of what's going on. I know in Johannesburg, there was some rabbanim very machmir on this and didn't allow women to get their goyish helper to push baby strollers to shul on Shabbos, and there were other rabbanim who felt that it was very important to allow young mothers out of their homes on Shabbos, and it was matirut for the sake of peace of mind and on Shabbos. So the shaila should be asked if you're in that situation, but I'm explaining the logic behind it. So again, just quickly, what is a Rishus HaRabim? Rishus HaRabim is a place that doesn't have a roof, it doesn't have the physical mechitzas around it, it is open from end to end, it is 16 amas wide, and according to some, it also needs the criteria of 600,000 people crossing through it. If you don't have any one of these is missing, then it drops to a non-Rishus HaRabim. This last condition of 600,000 also is the basis for the machlokes of whether New York City can have an eruv. The place is Rishus HaRabim d'oraisa. Although Rav Moshe Feinstein held that this is a criteria for a Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, the way he learned the sugya of 600,000, he felt that New York had the population, the traffic that was considered as having 600,000 people in the streets on a daily basis. Therefore, he held New York to be a Rishus HaRabim d'oraisa. And therefore, he was against building an eruv in such a place. There are and were great poskim who argued with him, and as far as they built an eruv in New York, and the halacha generally follows a very political line. And as far as I understand, the Litvish Tzibur do not use the eruv because they hold that Moshe was their poskim, and the Hasidish Tzibur does use the eruv because of their poskim, but you can make an eruv. It's not cut and dry, exactly, you know, oh, the 600,000, that's official, how to learn that whole sugya, and that's what it's based on, but it would come out that if you hold the Moshe to be your posek, you could not make New York, and therefore the eruv that exists you can't rely on. Not only that, you have to treat it as a isur d'oraisa. Hunter of Moshe could be that part of New York, and therefore all the chumras that we have of carrying the Rishus HaRabim, you have to treat it as a chumra of a d'oraisa. I'll give you one example. It says in halacha that you have to be careful when you wear your yarmulke Rishus HaRabim because the wind will blow it off and end up carrying your yarmulke. Therefore, you can't wear a head covering Rishus HaRabim because you're afraid the wind will blow it off. And normally you'll come to us and say, no, but we're all Jews and we won't walk without a head covering. So obviously, if your head covering blows off, you're going to put it back on your head. You're not going to inadvertently carry it. So therefore, fine, you can wear your head covering. But you cannot wear a double head covering. Double head covering, what is that? You have a yarmulke, and on top of that, you have your hat. Because it's very possible that if the wind blows your hat off, oh, I'm still wearing my yarmulke, I can carry on wearing my hat. There goes a problem that in New York, if you pass the Nakrab Moshe, you can wear a hat, but don't wear your yarmulke underneath it. That will be one example of passing that New York is an Isur Rishus HaRabim d'oraisa. Just be careful, people don't think about this. Oh, I'm not carrying. What's wrong with wearing a yarmulke? What's wrong with wearing a hat? No, it's a gzera. Don't wear the hat. It might blow off. There's a couple of other rules and regulations. You need to go to New York. You need to carry it. You need to ask a rabbi or a psak whether you're choshish to your moshe or not, because it would be a big shaila with a woman to wear jewelry on. A lot of the reasons why there's a whole perek in Masech Shabbos, but Ne'e Esha Yodis, but what can a woman wear as jewelry? And most of the perek is based on the fact not that jewelry in and of itself is a problem of carrying. No. once you wear something that is part of your clothing, part of your regular attire, even if it's not clothing that covers yourself, but rather something that beautifies yourself, so a tachshit, a jewel, is bottled to the person's body, it's not considered as caring. However, we say that women are prone to take off jewels and show them to her friend. And when she's finished showing it to her friend, she might not return it to its regular place and end up walking while she's holding the jewelry in her hand. And therefore, Hazal mentioned that we have to be very careful about what a woman can go out with the child. And today, all the Paschim say, make various reasons are given. And one of them is because, generally speaking, we don't have Rosh Hashanah and Daraisa. And I would say that until recently, it was probably very true, and we didn't have cities that had enough population, 100,000 people in them. Even big cities like London, Paris, Warsaw, and all the rest, until the last century, probably did not even have a population of 600,000, a couple of million. So you wouldn't have 600,000 people went into the streets. It's now become more of a practical issue in modern day cities which have high density living. And the more you have more people, more population, and then there comes a discussion of this whole thing, 600,000. And therefore would come out that, as I said, according to Reb Moshe Feinstein, New York is considered a part of it would be considered as a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, or a Shaila should be made, if you're kosher to Reb Moshe, can you wear jewelry after Shabbos? One more thing about Rosh Hashanah before we move on, is that Rosh Hashanah is limited to a height of 10 tefachim. That means that if you're able to carry something above the 10 tefachim line, which not very difficult, well, not very easy because usually you walk on the floor. But if you're going to fly, or if you're going to throw something, then if you throw something from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you throw it over a Rosh Hashanah Yachid which is in between, but you make sure that the item that flies over is always above 10 Tefachim, then it's possible that that's not going through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We say above 10 Tefachim is considered as a Makom Patur, as a total different domain, and does not have the criteria of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So that's another point to keep in mind with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Again, we've had Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we've had Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now we come to case number three is the Karmelis. The Karmelis is nishtahin or nishtaher. Or as I had a teacher in school who told us, what happens if you cross a chicken, a rabbit? He said you'll get a offspring that's nishtahin or nishtaher. Those who understand a little bit of Yiddish. But the idea is that it's not this and not that. The Karmelis doesn't have the dimensions, it doesn't have the criteria that creates it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Doesn't have all the mechitzas and the size. Yet on the other hand, it doesn't have the criteria that makes Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's that middle ground that's not this and not that. What do you do with it? So if it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it becomes a domain in itself and you can carry in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then you're not allowed to carry into it, from it, or in it itself. Carrying four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is awesome. But if it doesn't have all those five criteria, depending on how you learn, then what is the space? The space is considered as a karmel. For example, a field, the ocean, a desert, a covered street. If you have a street that is got a roof over it, in the old city of Yerushalayim, shuk, the Arab shuk that leads down the opposite of the Shariafo, an open street, but it is covered. Or if you have a street that is not sufficiently wide, so all these places look like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but don't have the criteria. So then it would be considered as a karmelis. Or another example is we said that if you have an area in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that is raised 10 tefachim or dropped 10 tefachim and has a space of a minimum space of 4x4 tefachim, then it gets a din of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. What happens if the space is raised enough to make it stick out that it is not part of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it's not raised 10 tefachim? So then we would say that gets a din of a karmelis. So then a karmelis basically we treat it as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Darabona. In other words, we're not going to carry there, we're not going to carry to there or from there, but the issue is an issue Darabona, not an issue Daraisa. As I said, so then asking a goy in the case of a mitzvah would be much more makel. Generally speaking, all our public areas that don't have the criteria are karmelis. So unless you go to a promotion in New York, basically every city in the world, the streets of the city are considered as a karmelis, and that's why we don't carry, but it turns out we don't carry in Bidurabon or Bidur Raisa. And
The last area is four domains that Chazal talk about, which is the Yachid, which is the Rabbi, Karmel. The last one is the Makam. A Makam Tur is where there's no issue. You're potter from carrying into it or out of it, but it also has very clear definitions. It's an area that is smaller than four. To be a Rishus HaYachid, we said, we gave the example of a well. You had a well that was more than 10 tefachim deep, that has its built-in mechitzas, and it has a surface area of at least a square foot, a 4 on 4 tefachim. If you have a well that the surface area is smaller than that, so then that doesn't get called a Rishus HaYachid, but rather it's called a Makam Tur. A Makam Tur, you're actually allowed to carry in and out of it. You can take from Rishus HaYachid and put into a Makam Tur, or you can even take from Rishus HaRab and put into a Makam Tur, and the Tefach also used to do carry out of a Makam Tur into Rishus HaYachid, or out of a Makam Tur into Rishus HaRab. What you cannot do is use a Makam Tur to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab. In other words, to directly take from the public to the private, or the private to the public, that we said is the typical case of taking out Chitzah on Shabbos is also. Now, if I can take from the from a private to a Ptur, and I can also take separately from a Ptur to the public, so why can't I take from the private to the Ptur to the public? And just stop it in the middle on this Makam Ptur. That the Chazal will go as you can't do. Okay, so that's the four domains that we have on Shabbos. We also mentioned that Rishus HaRabim is only up to 10 tefachim high. Above 10 tefachim from the floor level becomes a Makam Tur, the same thing in the Karmelis. It's above 10 tefachim going to have a Makam Tur. These are the rules. We'll see examples how we can. We've only got about a minute or two left, so we'll just mention a couple of halachos that pertain to this. Number one is, we've mentioned it, but we'll just put it now in an organized order. To take something out from a public to a private, or private to a public, is what's asked on Shabbos. And it doesn't matter whether you're carrying it in your hand, whether you throw it, or whether it's in your pocket and you walk. As long as it's in a regular, normal way of moving from place to place, that is considered as the Isur of Chitzah. There's also an Isur of Ma'avir. It's the same, it's another form of Chitzah. And that is, when you're in Rishus HaRabim, you may not carry something more than 4 amos. That is, whether it's something in your pocket, or something in your hand, or throwing something, carrying it from place to place, if the space between where you remove it until you put it down is more than 4 amos, that is an Isur on Shabbos. If you change the way you do it, for example, you pin something that doesn't normally get pinned to your hair, or you put something on your head and that's not a place or a thing that's normal to carry on your head, or you put it inside your shoe or something like that, then it's considered as Kila Achayad, it's having to do it with a Shinoi, and then it drops to becoming a Rabbanon. Midirabbanon, all this that we said between a private and public domain applies also between the private and the Karmelis. And therefore, carrying in a Karmelis and Arbamis in a Karmelis is also the same rules as Rishusei HaRabim, but just it's on the lower level, it's the level of the Rabbanon. Okay, I'm going to hold it there for this week. Mr. Shem, next week, let's see you. Unless it changes, but it should be again next week at 10:30, and continue with rules that apply to now set up. Wishing everybody a great day and a great week.
Thank you. Have a good day. Have a great week.
Thank you. To you too.
Thank you. Thank you.